The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 13th of November, 2025, and you are on the clock with Smokey and the Bandit Green. You're on the clock with Smokey and the Bandit Green, and today this show is brought to you by those two by them that was having, I don't know what it was, on the Eastern Road yesterday afternoon. I just want to ask y'all something. Why did we let the people who told us that maths was unnecessary also tell us the traffic controls were unnecessary? Why we let the people who don't believe in spatial awareness tell us you don't have to stop at stop signs anymore? I just asking. Because let me tell you why. Because like traffic controls aren't something that six politicians sit around a cabinet table and make up while they're eating KFC chicken. That's not, like, this is a science, right? Traffic management, the movement of people, goods, and services through your country, this is a science, right? It's a professional skill, and people go to universities and get degrees so that they could come back and employ or deploy or apply the skills that they've learned there in country settings, right? And I just want to know, how come y'all let the people who say you don't need to take math past ninth grade tell you that you don't have to stop at stop signs? See, yesterday I was tickled. I was so tickled I almost hired me a driver. Imagine you driving through a police exercise, right? It's not a roadblock because they're not looking for traffic offenses. They're collecting taxes on behalf of the road traffic department, on behalf of the Ministry of Transport, right? That's what they're doing. So you drive past them and you say, hey, you know what? You know where the people is be running the red light? At East Street and Bay Street, right there. By Central, that's where the people is be running the light. And when you get to East Street and Bay Street, right there by Central, you know who the people is running the light? The police. The police, they were the people running the light, right? So I gotta ask y'all again, why y'all let the people who tell you that math is not necessary past the ninth grade level also tell you that traffic controls are just unnecessary? And are oppressive, and intended to stop you because the man don't want you to do nothing in your life. Like, why we let the people who don't know what spatial awareness is tell us it's okay to drive with their cell phones in their face as opposed to their face in the windshield looking at the road? See, yesterday I was almost killed on the road. This is not hyperbole. I'm not over-exaggerating. Yesterday, while I was heading back west on the Eastern Road, just came out of San Suzy, we were faced with two vehicles driving at high speed, attempting to overtake eight cars at one time. You know, on the Eastern Road, the parts that they don't pave because they figure white people are rich enough to fix their car themselves. There were two tourists who had just pulled off on the side of the road, who were absolutely stunned and weren't certain if they were going to get back on their scooter or if they was going to try call a cab to take them back to town. Two by them cutting the movie like they are Smokey and the Bandit themselves. I just want to know who in the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas thought that traffic management and traffic enforcement were the two low-hanging fruit that you didn't have to concern yourself with. It turns out that developed countries across the world understand, A, that traffic management is an essential, intrinsic, integral part of your economy's health, right? And then there are people who also understand that traffic management and traffic enforcement is another mechanism that states and governments use, right, to encourage, to perpetuate, to sustain or maintain order in your country. When people decide that they don't have to follow the traffic controls, and when the police decide that they don't have to follow the traffic controls, and when the people driving the vehicles assigned to judges decide that they don't have to follow the traffic controls, and when the people who have special plates assigned to them, like Corps of Diplomats, decide that they don't have to follow the traffic controls, we have lost control. That's it. I mean, I get notes upon notes. I got the whole show here. Effective traffic management boosts the economy by improving efficiency through reduced travel times for commuters and goods, lowering business costs, and increasing productivity. Conversely, congestion has negative economic impacts, such as lost time, decreased productivity. That's a signal to the new Productivity Council that perhaps this is an element that you will acknowledge as important in your work also. And higher supply chain costs. Strategies like smart traffic systems, investment in public transport. Let me stick a pin here, because I do believe that we could and should remove 65% of the people on the road right now from behind the wheels. I imagine that of that 65%, 25% of them don't even have licenses, nor are they covered by insurance, and should not be on the road anyway. I continue. Investment in public transport and optimized road use can create economic benefits like higher GDP, but require significant investment and careful implementation. I got notes upon notes. I've been waiting all week to have this show, but guess what? I have something even more exciting lined up today. In studio, caller, I'm coming to you right now, because I'm going to say this and I'm going to give the callers time to prepare themselves, right? In studio today, it is my pleasure to introduce to the public Karen Butler, the independent candidate and the first to nominate, the independent candidate running for Golden Isles in the upcoming by-election. And I'll tell you why I'm excited. When I sent Ms. Butler the notes, when I showed her the notes this morning, I see she's looking at the notes, and I could see her trying to figure out why I have these stories here, right? And why I have the first to file. Lady Darling Cooper, first, I think, woman to register, and possibly first or second woman to vote. See? She was so committed to this thing. She said, this is me. This is my obligation. She was the first. And that inspired me. I say, if any political candidate I talk to this election season, I want to talk to Ms. Karen Butler. I want to know what inspired her to run as an independent candidate anywhere in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Why Golden Isles? What her platform is. Now, I want to let her introduce her platform. Because for me, my questions I've been devising for how many administrations since I could vote? 17. So a good 4 election cycles I've been working on these questions. So when we get the show started, I'm going to let Ms. Butler introduce herself, introduce her campaign. We're going to open up the phone lines, and she can introduce herself to the public and to the people. And then if we have some time, I'm going to get some questions in. Now, I even have some sneak questions that she don't know. Like, doing my research, I realized Ms. Butler, she has a symbol for her campaign. And she has a color for her campaign as well. And I say, you're running as an independent candidate, but you're thinking like a movement, right? And so I'm preparing her right now so it wouldn't be a gotcha question. Right? You have a theme song? Who made your theme song? Who is your favorite Bahamian artist and why? I got all kinds of questions for Ms. Butler today. Questions that I think are important, questions that I think other people think are important. But more importantly, we're going to provide a space for callers to call in and express what they think is important for their constituency, if they're in Golden Isles, what they think is important in a candidate in a general election, in an election, in an MP, right? These are some of the things we're going to interrogate. Now, the numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. For Family Island listeners, it's toll-free. And the text line is 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Now, we want to give Ms. Butler an opportunity to get the platform out. I see you got a caller on the line right now. Caller, I'm going to take your call. But remember, we're giving Ms. Butler an opportunity to get her platform out. Good morning, caller. Good morning. I can hear you in the back.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, I know you're going to have a plethora of callers today, Rachel. Let me make this quick.
Mm-hmm.
One, you are incorrect about the traffic light by Bay Street and East Street.
It was off that day.
They are 4 or 5 police there now every day. They ain't playing with you. You go down there, you getting booked.
Hold on, cousin. That's what I was saying. Constant police presence. I don't know what they're doing, but constant police presence. And then the one day the light is down, no police, no way on Bay Street?
Mom, but I keep on calling, but I like the day is down. I call every day, but my people's about to fight.
Yeah.
But the second thing I'll get to, right, be a guest, right, because I know I can't get through. Ask her for me what she plans on doing pertaining to water before you reach budget in Coral Harbor, right? And plus two, she's going to have an uphill battle because of the fact that she will not be able to give out contracts. So she's actually fighting against the power of giving out contracts to individuals.
Okay, hold on. Let me reframe that question, right? What we're going to ask her is, what are the strategies that independent candidates or independent MPs can employ to ensure that infrastructural needs and major community needs are attended to by the government, even though they are not a member of the governing party? I could rephrase it like that.
Yeah, so that's why it's going to be very uphill battle. But I commend her for her courage.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people don't know, right? It takes a lot of money to run an effective campaign, you know.
Yeah.
It takes actually millions of dollars to run an effective campaign, and you still may lose.
Well, hold on. It takes plenty of money to run an effective campaign, and you still may lose the seat. But that doesn't mean that you have lost, right? And it doesn't mean that the impact that you have made on the community or that what you have contributed to in the community and what you have participated in loses impact because you did not win the seat. I think independent candidates are heroes, right? And whether they win or not, we must acknowledge the impact that they have in the communities. I don't know if I can call them traditional MPs, right? The PLPs and the FNMs. I don't know if they understand how independent candidates in your constituency also benefit your work as an MP.
But before I go, right?
Yes, sir?
Depends on how she do during a campaign, right? If she able to galvanize enough votes, one of the parties will pick her up for a Senate position. Depends on how she goes. So it could, even if she lose, she could actually win.
In the terms, in the sense of the prevailing political culture. Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying. Yeah.
Right. All right, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we have some questions thrown out. We don't have to get to them right yet, Ms. Butler. You don't have to answer them right yet. Here's a text. Good morning. Even if they just ensure proper areas outside of traffic for bus stops and enforcement, traffic will improve significantly, and hence the economy will also improve significantly. Thank you, texter. Okay, so it's a text here that says, listen, from the previous show, please have that person call 825-9700. So I guess you, that person, you know who you are. Call 825-9700 for an explanation of Freeport. No, it wasn't me that sent the text, but I possibly know who it was. I ain't gonna say who it was out loud. That person say they know everything about Freeport. Call them if you need education. I can take you up on that, Dexter. You playing, I can take you up on that. So I've got a candidate in the studio. Her name is Karen Butler. Before she speaks, we're going to let her campaign song speak for her. Producer, play the song for me, please.
Yes, you. What? We tired of the red, we tired of the blue. In golden eyes, we ain't the Lulu. We done with the switching back and forth. We going independent, we can be bought. Red rocks. We voted for our president. Karen Butler, confident. No parties, no tricks. A real independent. We coming, we coming.
Good morning, Karen Butler. Welcome to On the Clock.
Good morning, Bahamas, and thank you, Erin Green, for the invitation.
It's my pleasure to have you here. Like I said, I want to interrogate you because I interrogate all politicians. Let me start here. When I critique the PLP's initial ratification process, the first stage of their ratification, right? I held close the question of whether the campaign songs that they brought were gimmicks, right? Because when you are monolith, when you are mega party like the PLP, it's difficult for a candidate to tell a story that's larger than the story of the PLP. But when I heard your theme song just now, I thought, man, this is not just fabulous, but it's important, right? Because the truth is, people want to follow stories, right? A story is legible, but they want to be a part of a story. And your theme song tells a story that I want to be a part of, right, Mr. Adrian White? I still live, don't mind, we're just talking. But that song moved me just now. How important was the theme song, the campaign song, to your campaign?
Well, let me tell you a secret. Mm-hmm. I wrote that song. Yeah, she just dropped the mic, guys. I wrote that song, and I wrote that song because that was in my heart and my spirit. Mm-hmm. I'm running as an independent candidate for the same reason. We are really tired of the party politics, you know, the same back and forth between the parties. One party saying to the next, oh, we failed better than you did, right? But the Bahamian people deserve better. I'm a resident of the Golden Isles constituency, and I wanted to vote for someone who represented my values, who represented my ideals, and who represented my vision. And I looked and I surveyed the land in all parties, and I saw none. Hence, I decided to put my hat in the race. And so when I examine the length and breadth of the Golden Isles constituency, which has about 8,000 registered voters, which spans from the Detention Center Road.
Golden Isles Road.
Golden Isles Road, you know, commonly referred to as the Detention Center Road. And it extends west past Adelaide, almost to the back of Albany.
So I need a visa to go, because you know you need a visa to go east of Andrus.
You get that right.
Yes,
right?
Ma'am.
So, and then it extends, it's south, so south of Carmichael, and then of course it includes Dignity Gardens from Gladstone Roadside, pearly much go all the way to the Coral Harbour Road.
Okay.
So it's a very vast constituency, and it's also a very diverse constituency in terms of makeup of the constituents. We have persons in the constituency who are settled homeowners who have been there for a minute. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have a lot of apartments, so a lot of transient persons within that constituency. Mm-hmm. And so when I look at even the issues we face in the constituency, I mean, I cry all the time for my little car. I mean, shocks, tires, you know, replacing them so often became a nightmare for me. And then all of a sudden, you know, there was this great announcement that there was going to be an election, a by-election, and things get done, which tells me that if a sitting MP whose government is in power can't get things done, don't you tell an independent candidate that our hands are tied. because you can't get worse. You can only get better.
Mm-hmm.
So examining the Coral Harbor roundabout, well, from Coral Harbor roundabout going towards the Defense Force Base, of course, the caller spoke about the flooding issues. And I've had calls to travel through that water. It's a nightmare. So given those residents who live in that area who are not asking the government for anything, but simply asking for assistance in terms of providing the proper infrastructure that the government can provide.
And Ola, and I think that's a fair expectation, right? They're not asking for anything outside of the basic obligation of the state to its citizens. It's fair for them to ask. It's fair for them to demand. But more importantly, it is reasonable for them to expect infrastructural issues be taken care of and taken care of as quickly as possible.
Correct. And one of the assets, I would say, in terms of me being an independent candidate, I have a voice not only for me as a resident, but voice for all the residents of the Golden Isles constituency.
Mm-hmm. Let's stick a pin here. That voice, right? I found your voter, your candidate profile online. Tell people where they could find it, your social media presence.
Well, currently, right now, we're using my personal page, which is Karen Kim Butler on Facebook.
Okay. All right, so let's go through this profile, because that voice, right? And when you say you don't just speak for yourself as a resident of Golden Isles, but you're speaking for many people, right? In your candidate profile, you were a teacher.
Correct.
Abaco Central, CC Sweeting, H.O. Nash.
Yes.
You are a coach.
Yes.
You coach softball, volleyball, soccer, track and field. And I can be honest, I know you're tall, but the one I'm most impressed with is chess, right?
Yeah.
Because of, with chess, you teaching some of the same skills in chess that you are in volleyball, in soccer, in softball. Spatial awareness, critical thinking. President, Toastmasters Club 5725. What's the theme of that club?
Well, that club now doesn't currently exist.
Okay, so you're a former president.
Right.
Okay, no.
All of the background that you have there, except for attorney, I'm currently an attorney by profession.
Yes.
And, of course, the resident, those are current. And the others are former community service involvement. Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope you're ready for people to reach back out to you. Right. You were secretary of the Bahamas Chess Federation, a member of the National Trust. I see your eyes are everywhere, which means that you are well placed to speak, not just for yourself, but for other people. I'm impressed by that. OK, so that's a bit of the past. This is now the future.
Yes.
One of the issues raised by the caller, an issue that you raised yourself with the infrastructural needs. One of the things that I talked about as we were leading into this segment was transport and public transportation. What are the needs of Golden Isles residents right now?
Okay, so I started to talk about the flooding in Coral Harbor, and the caller did mention that as well. That is a major, major problem, especially for the Coral Harbor residents.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned transportation, which is also to me a need, because public transportation, which I sometimes utilize, and I think we must improve the system, because I have no reservations in taking the bus, what we call like the jitney, right? Because sometimes I use that as a time not only to socialize with my fellow Bahamians, but also as an opportunity to sightsee, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And the public transportation ends at Bacardi Road Park. So from Bacardi Road Park all the way into Adelaide, there is no public transportation.
No, man.
None whatsoever.
No, so, no. I mean, you have the base. Hold on. You have the base out there. You have Albany out there.
Adelaide.
You got the airport out there. What do you mean there's no public transportation out there?
There's no transportation beyond Bacardi Road on Carmichael headed west. And so those persons who want to go Botswain Hill, Coral Harbor, Adelaide, any place beyond that, they would stand at the corner.
And catch ride?
And hike a ride down.
Hold on, so you mean young people, young girls, and young boys are vulnerable to predators because there are no public transportation options on that side of the island?
Correct.
Yeah.
And not only in terms of future development, we have a lot of, I think, churches and a lot of places now popping up in that southwest corridor. Mm-hmm. The investment of a high school, another school in the southwest area, I think would be in order.
Okay.
In terms of, well, we have the clinic, which is Flamingo Gardens, which is all the way. That's
how do you get, if you don't own a car, mm-hmm. how do you get to the clinic from Adelaide?
It's so interesting, you know, and so sad, really, because I took a ride. Every once in a while, I do so. You know, I ride around the island, and more specifically in recent times, even more so in the constituency. And as I was leaving Adelaide, people are like literally standing in Adelaide on the corner, hiking ride. Mm-hmm. You know, thumbs out. I stopped, and the minute I stopped, my car door opened.
Because somebody thought you stopped to give them a ride?
Correct.
I want to take an aside here, right? A commentary about the proliferation of unregulated rideshare services on the island, right? Because people who are in situations like this where they are at a far-flung corner of a far-flung constituency have no access to transportation, right? So they're desperate for trans. They will call a rideshare, even though it is unregulated. They'll take that risk. But the fares, the prices that rideshares are charging, this is not accessible for people who can't afford cars. Like, and I wonder if people are understanding the economics of this space. The ride service has to be cheaper than what it costs to purchase and maintain a used boy from Japan. Otherwise, it is as untenable as trying to get a car.
You know, for many years, we've been talking about, you know, improving the busing system. Mm-hmm. I think once we solve that problem, we'd be well on our way to being able to move around the mm-hmm. island in a more affordable and safe manner.
Right.
Because when we travel, think about it. When you travel, you take a subway, you take a bus. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing to it.
Listen, I lived in London. I lived in England for about 4 years. Caller, be patient. Be coming to you in a second. And for about 4 years across time, 3 years. If I tell you I've been in a car maybe 6 times, and that includes taxis, right? That includes taxis. Like, I lived a life, and I lived in a space where the car was not the most important thing, and it did not signify your status in society, right? Now, Miss Butler, I got 2 calls. Let's go to 1 caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Miss Green. Just 1 question, right? Mm-hmm. You really didn't know you had to foot it out in Coral Gables? When you're coming from Bacardi Road, ain't no bus, the bus stop actually in Bacardi Road.
Bro.
You didn't know that?
You know how deep east I live? I have to get a visa. I have to get a visa to go to Coral Harbor. Okay? So
see,
I don't...
But guess what?
You can't...
That's what makes Coral Harbor so special. And guess what? You realize that your guest now actually running for the best constituency ever. The reason why I'm saying that is, right? Mm-hmm. The people of Coral Harbor don't have so much... Mm-hmm. So she actually have the best contingency ever to run for. The only thing we're asking for is to fix the water and little thing, but we ain't asking for the urgent stuff.
I got you. All right. We can talk about that a bit as well, possibly, because I could, when I start interrogating, I could interrogate you. So I could be easy this morning. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
Yes, good morning to your guest, Ms. Butler.
Good morning.
Ms. Butler, I'm a resident of the Golden Isles constituency, and you're right about what you're saying. As it relates to the busing system from Bacardi Road into Adelaide, I don't know what's going on, but bus number 16A would take you right to Bacardi And then 16B is supposed to take you from Bacardi Road beyond towards Adelaide and Albany. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, 16B bus does not go that route. I don't know if it's because it's not lucrative. So I think it's in place, but it's just not enforced that the drivers
run a regular. Yeah,
16B is the bus that's supposed to go beyond Bacardi.
Absolutely. See, and here's a part of the problem. I call it like an administrative issue, right? Because first of all, anybody who works in the public transportation system is supposed to know that this is not a profit-making enterprise. Like, this is not, you're not guaranteed profit. This is an essential public service, right? So if you're entering this industry, you have to be prepared to constantly lobby the government. Now, what I've been... The government has a listening ear. I don't know if they have a responding mouth, but they got a listening ear. They're hearing, right? If you're entering the public transportation space, you're supposed to be constantly lobbying the government, constantly engaging them. You're supposed to be doing cost analysis surveys, right? So that you could show the government that, look, I'm invested in public transportation, but the model of public transportation is not sustainable. This has to be recognized as an essential service. It needs to be, if subsidized by the government, if not fully operated by the government, subsidized by the government, because this island is centralized just like the government, right? The island is centralized just like the archipelago. Everything takes place in the center. And if you do not have easy access to the center, you don't have easy access to governance. You don't have easy access to commerce. You don't have easy access to services. You have access to practically nothing. Only thing you have access to is what your feet could take you to. And then what does that mean for the disabled? What does it mean for the elderly? What does it mean for people who are vulnerable because of family circumstances? Like after Dorian, a family member in New Providence died, the house is sitting empty. It must be maintained so that it doesn't deteriorate while we wait for the probate process. I'm elderly or slightly disabled. I'm not normally in Nassau. I don't know people. Like, there are all types of circumstances that people could resolve themselves or deal with themselves if the basic public infrastructure was available.
And that brings me to another note, Aaron. I'm glad you mentioned the elderly and the disabled. You know, I'm at the age where I belong to the sandwich generation. Right, where in the last 2 to 3 years, we've lost the matriarch and the patriarch of our family, being older people. So I kind of like understand what it is like for them to not only rely sometimes on the government assistance and programs, but also the need for it in the communities, especially the Southwest community. You know, is, you know, a lot of people like to say, well, they want to look at the inner city. But the inner city now has branched out into areas like Golden Isles. And for those mature people and homeowners, especially, like I always refer to the Coral Harbor area simply because it's a more settled home ownership area versus the other areas which are kind of like transient, we need programs in place where the elderly can go maybe at early mornings when people do have to go to work, who have responsibilities and they can't afford to take work off or hire, you know, assistance. And for them to be collected in the evening. So that would be good. So a good community center with good programs catering to the elderly and the disabled would be nice, as well as programs for the younger children, right? Which includes maybe a library. And you know, I have a beef simply because I have an education background. Libraries are open like 9 in the morning or 10 in the morning, and then they're closed like 3 or 4. I mean, like...
So listen, seriously? So some kids, especially kids who live in Golden Isles, have to get up at 4:30 in the morning so that they could walk out of their communities to get to a main road, to catch a bus, to get to school, right? And some of them...
Well, let me correct you on that.
Okay.
There is a primary school in Adelaide. So for the greater part... you would find that they are schooling right in their community. So, those particular students won't be affected.
Right. So you get these people who, young people, right, who have to move to get themselves to school. They leave in their house. They could be leaving their house at 5:30 or 6 a.m. in the morning to get to school. And they could be walking past a library. In fact, those kids could be waiting in the public library for school gates to open, for the school to fill with people so they feel safer, and they could be doing work in the library. They could be reading in the library. They could just be absorbing all the energy in the library because you just acculturating them to reading and the love of books and books being present. Like a public library serves so many functions in a community, but the libraries don't open until the kids go to school. And then the libraries are closed by the time they could get to a parent or get back home to the library.
Yeah. And so that is so sad because, you know, the young people are our future, right? And if we are not investing in them.
What are we investing in?
Or who is the question.
Let's go to this caller. And then I have a question about community programming. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How you all doing?
Good, thank you.
Well,
okay. I was a long-time resident of the Golden Isles community constituency. I can tell you why the bus drivers do not go hardly.
Okay.
As a former bus driver myself, the people in Adelaide don't like paying bus fare, so the drivers don't go.
Now, what do you mean? How does it happen?
They get on your bus. And when they reach where they go, they walk off your bus and look at you like you crazy.
But your bus have a door and it is locked.
Yeah, the bus has a door, but then when someone say bus stop, someone who paid, they get up and walk off ahead of that person and then say the next person get the money.
Now, listen, I lump in all bus drivers in one bag right now, right?
You could lump them all.
Hold on. Let me broad brush it. I paint a broad brush on all bus drivers right now. What the boy who's sitting in the passenger seat is do though? Like, it's not his job that when you come into
No. That's for those who have that person.
I know, that's why I lump them all.
I drove a bus where only me one was in the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I didn't need that luxury or that extra person in the bus to create problems in the bus. I was dealing with school children. I was dealing with young adults. So I didn't need that extra in the bus because...
You didn't want to take the risk that somebody that you hired would not be fit for purpose and would actually turn out...
No, they are not hired. They are just sitting there collecting money. They are not hired.
Because I'm talking about a potential space where we see that person as a potential employee that helps to improve the service on the bus and facilitates the work of the bus driver so he could focus on the road and keeping his timing correct.
Well, if the bus driver wants to do that, then he can do that. That is all on him. It is not on the owner of the bus. It is on the driver if he wants that extra person.
Listen, I want to thank you for your contribution because...
I am not finished now.
Oh, hold on, because, man, ain't nothing I like more than rowing with bus driver, but hold on, man.
I know bus driver.
Hold on. Everything that you said just now lays out elements that are necessary in a properly functioning public transportation system. That's all I'm going to say, Uncle.
Yeah, it could be, and the busing system could be better. Okay?
Yes, sir.
It could be a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You asked a question, how do people get from Adelaide to clinic?
And this place is farther west and south in Adelaide, yeah, but how do they get into town or to the closest clinic?
There is a clinic in Adelaide.
Is a small clinic in Adelaide?
There is a clinic in Adelaide. Oh. It is fully functional. It has doctors, it has nurses.
Now, okay, Uncle, I was with you until you said it has doctors. I was with you until it said, if you had said it have one doctor, I would have believed you.
Well, it has, you know, the same doctor isn't showing up, so I say doctors.
I got you. I appreciate what you're saying. Yes, sir.
So, for the people in Adelaide, they have the clinic. If the people between Adelaide and the Clinic on Carmichael Road, they have an issue.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
Someone in one of those areas between Adelaide and Golden Isles have to go to a clinic.
Yeah.
They'll either have to find a ride. They don't have a ride. They'll have to find a ride to Adelaide or find a ride up Carmichael Road.
I understand.
You know, so
let me ask you a question. You stay anonymous. Don't call your name. But if an independent candidate like Ms. Karen Butler wanted to reach out to an individual like yourself who has been in the industry to begin to frame out a new busing system or to talk about ways that a busing system could be implemented within Golden Isles itself, because you remember the new president of the taxi cab union say, pss, Minister of Transport, why you don't give us a couple of them plates you recalling so that we could begin to run services for Bahamians in designated areas? Would you be willing to contribute to some planning sessions or talking sessions to see how that could work for public transportation in Golden Isles?
I don't have a problem with it.
I got you. Thank you.
Okay. I think my number showed up on your...
No, it didn't in the producer ain't there right now. So, but
okay.
Here's what you could do. Send a WhatsApp. Oh, hold on, miss. Go to Facebook. Karen Butler. You searching Karen Kim Butler on Facebook. And you just drop a note there, private message, or drop it on her wall and tell her to inbox you.
Okay.
Right. And thank you, Golden Isles resident.
Okay, no problem.
And thank you, sir.
Now, you guys may be hearing in the background, there's a Marcos alert that's popping up on phones. Kenell Smith, male, 13 years of West Street, Baintown, New Providence, last seen Saturday, the 8th of November, 2025, at his residence. He's dark brown complexion, slim build. If seen, contact police at 919 or CID at 502-9991 or 502-9992. You can also, I think, go to the Royal Bahamas Police Force Facebook page, and the alert should be posted there with an image. If you're looking at the alert right now on your phone, you can click on the Facebook link, and it will take you to a page where you can see a picture of the child, of the minor, that we have sent this Marcos alert out for. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. Turn your radio down. Okay, we're good.
I don't want to throw a wrench in Ms. Butler's plan. This is not intended to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I'm going to say. The history of independent candidates in this country is dismal, and it's dismal for a specific reason.
Mm-hmm. What's the reason?
If I ask you the question, what was the purpose of us going to school? In one sentence, not long, very short, what would you say the purpose of us going to school was for?
Me or the candidate?
Any one of y'all. The two of y'all, the teacher and you, the host.
Okay, so the purpose of going to school is multifold. It's to arm you with skills you need to navigate the world in front of you.
That's a prime you're giving me right there.
Hold on. But it's also to socialize you and to order you and to show you how you are expected to behave in society.
Okay. The teacher agree with you?
She have her own answer.
The teacher, you like to give an answer?
I just simply say to improve ourselves, right?
That's her answer. Go on.
Hello?
That's her answer. She said to improve ourselves. So go on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just say it like this.
Mm-hmm.
We went to school to learn to think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I can just use that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all them other things you say are well and good. I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
So, when you look at our society, we don't have very many free thinkers, critical thinkers.
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
You agree with that?
I think that we have lost the critical thinking, like, because culturally, right? Because culturally, collectively, we are critical thinkers, you know. But I think we losing that. We losing
that. When it comes to politics, I don't think we are critical thinkers because we have not demonstrated that.
I feel you.
So, caller.
Let Ms. Butler go on.
Caller.
Go ahead.
Do you think that things are changing, though?
I'm not hearing her well. I don't know.
Do you think things are changing?
You think
things are, when you say changing, that's a very broad statement. Things are changing in many areas. Technologically, things are changing. In terms of critical thinking, maybe things are changing. What I could say for sure is politically things are changing a bit because we have demonstrated in the last 20 years, 4 elections, that we're not prepared to put up with one party for too long, and we will switch you. But that does not solve our problem.
And I agree with you. Let me just say, I agree with you, and that is the reason I'm running as an independent candidate, independent of parties, for the same reason we're switching back and forth. We're not making the progress that we need to make because we are stuck in this insane cycle. And with respect to us being a more educated population, I could say back then, as we would always say, our leaders were the educated in the educated citizenry. We relied on them to make decisions, and we trusted them to make the correct decisions. Now the population is just as educated and just as knowledgeable as our leaders, and in some cases more knowledgeable, and therefore we are now able to make better decisions as it comes to politics. And you would see a change even in terms of the voting populace in the last 2 elections. And of course, given the chance on the 24th of November, you would see that Karen Butler, as an independent candidate, independent of party, is on that ballot. And we will see what the people decide. And then that will show exactly what the Bahamian people are willing to tolerate or put up with.
All right, thank you, Ms. Butler. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds. Caller, you there? Let's go good morning. Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Okay, morning. Yeah, I'm calling. We do have some good bus drivers, too, you know. We have some very, very good fellas. We have some bad out there. But the thing is, I ride a bus every other day just to do a little inspections, you know, on my own. And I find 142-10A, this gentleman, I didn't get his name, but he's very, very good. I mean, this guy, he cared for children, and he stopped that bus, and he carried a couple of blind people, too. And if he had to get out to get them across the street, that's what he does.
Oh, my goodness.
And this ain't just today.
Yeah.
Every day. I didn't get his number, but I really commend him. He's, you know, doing a beautiful job.
Thank you very much.
And the next thing is that,
yes,
you didn't get to me yesterday. We are celebrating the 60th anniversary of the Abbott Castle of 13. That's when she sank. So I just ask you could plug it for me. Please.
Yes, sir. You sent me the info?
I didn't. I didn't get it. I was sort of busy yesterday.
I understand. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Thank you there.
Thank you very much.
And good luck to Ms. Butler.
Thank you, sir.
All right, ma'am.
Thank you. 14210A. Big up, big up. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? All right. So let me run through the text quickly. The text says, tell the last caller the word is poem, not perm. See, 52, this is where me and you go row, right? Because if his words smooth me out and make me feel shiny like a fresh new perm, he could call it what he want. But the text goes on, not only politics, when it comes to science, we collectively are not critical thinkers. Also, the purpose of education is to replace an empty mind with an open one. See Alan Johnson, the critical thinker. Aaron, the bus driver, need to collect the funds as persons enter the bus. That's how it's in the U.S. I had another text that says that you pay when you get on the bus, or you can't get on the bus, and I think that's important. Okay, caller, you got 30 seconds. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. You got 30 seconds.
Yeah, I see my call got cut off. But anyway, I'm see, when we have a system that is not based on meritorious rewards,
mm-hmm.
we will never achieve what we really need to achieve. When you go back to the 60s, 70s, our school system tell us, go and learn whatever you can learn. The sky is the limit. But while we were being taught, people were learning how to connect with politicians. And look at the educated people. Not all of them, but a lot of them. They are in government, and they are not doing what they know is sound scientifically or even professionally. They are sucking up and kissing up with politicians that are carrying the country, have carried the country in the wrong direction.
Caller. So, I gotta go. I wanted to say I really appreciate what it is you say, and if I had more time, we would talk more about it, right? You see the producer playing the music, and I ain't even ready for the producer to play the music, because I wanted to just briefly say to Ms. Butler, I want to talk about community programming and an idea I have that an independent candidate, I think, can pull off with the partnership of business, private sector, and civil society in a constituency, right? And that is assisting residents in creating proper waste management tools, right? And systems, bringing in landlords as well, because you have a lot of areas where people, you say people are transient, what we mean is that they live in apartments, right? And that could change very easily. Helping people to build units to hold their bins, partnerships with businesses to provide the 30-gallon, the proper garbage bag to dispose of, recycling projects, right? And I think that this is a community program that independent candidates could really succeed with. But also, before we go, I'm preparing Ms. Butler for her next appearance on my show, because she has to come back and answer some more questions. I really enjoyed this. And I want to say, then this is, I'm framing it now for you, Ms. Butler, when you come back. Bahamas Constitution, Chapter 6, Article 73, 1 says, whenever there shall be occasion for the appointment of a prime minister, the governor general shall appoint as prime minister A, the member of the House of Assembly, who is the leader of the party, which commands the support of the majority of the members of that house. Right? When you come back, we're going to interrogate whether there's space for independent candidates within this political system. Ms. Butler, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Golden Isles, first candidate to nominate. We wait to see what happens next.
Okay.
Thank you, producer.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world, see how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
To my neighbors in Golden Isles, even the PLP candidate had to admit it. You've been ignored and neglected for years. 4 years in power, and now weeks before an election, they show up paving roads. But I never left you. I live here, I work here, and I serve you every single day. Let them know Golden Isles is not for sale. On November 24th, vote the name you know and trust, Brian Brown, and the Free National Movement. I never forgot.
Paid for by the Free National Movement.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.